Okay. So they're asking, does the Avicen work for long-term healing as well as temporary relief? Is the increased circulation helping the body to do its own healing, or is it more of a tool to bring some blood flow and thus pain relief in the moment?
Well, it does both. My experience is it does both. The first time, you know, when I heard about the Avicen, I have a friend who introduced him. Patrick, you've heard him on the show. He was on it just the other day. And Patrick is in his mid-70s and has or had diabetes. I don't know if he'd be categorized as having diabetes anymore, but it was pretty severe, and he had neuropathy with a lot of pain in his feet. And Patrick told me about it, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, Patrick. Cool. I'm glad you're doing that. And after a few weeks, he's starting to tell me what's going on with his feet. And, you know, he would be able to get up in the morning normally with neuropathy because of the diabetes, and he would be able to work for 2 hours. And then he'd be in such excruciating pain in his feet that he'd have to go put his feet up. Within about 5 or 6 weeks, and I may have the time frame off, I'm not sure exactly, but it was a relatively short time, Patrick's telling me about, you know, I'm doing this machine a couple times a day, and I'm able to work for 5 hours a day now, and, you know, I get up and I can do 5 hours. I was limited to before, and I don't have excruciating pain at the end of 5 hours. He said, I have aching in my feet, but, you know, I can still walk around and that sort of thing. And now Patrick does 10 and 12 hour days. So it does both. So the idea, what happens with the Avicen is when you heat the blood, you know, there are 40 to 60 billion capillaries, depending whose estimate you take, miles, 100,000 or so miles of blood vessels in the structure. And at the head of each capillary, those 40 to 60 billion capillaries, there's a set of muscle fibers that if we're in fear, if we go into sympathetic dominance, tighten, restrict, and stop blood flow into the capillary. And that's so that, you know, in fear, there was a time when it meant survival and injury, and blood flow was cut off, periphery circulation especially, and, you know, like diabetes creates periphery circulation problems, you know, tingling hands and feet, numbness, you know, dysfunction, pain, eyes, you know, their periphery. And so it's a survival mechanism. Sympathetic dominance is a great thing. Fear, flight, fright, freeze, or fawning are all powerful ways to survive. And, you know, if it was meant to function, that if you were in the jungle and a lion's chasing you, it's going to cut blood flow to the higher functions of the brain, because you don't have to solve the latest calculus problem if a lion's chasing you. It's going to cut blood flow, let's say, to the regenerative organs. You don't have to think about conceiving a baby or, you know, creating sperm or cycling eggs. If a lion's chasing you, you don't have to think about generating or creating red blood cells. You don't need to think about digestion. You don't need to think about elimination. So blood flow is cut off to all of those functions in that survival mode, sympathetic dominance. But it's designed, and it's a wonderful mechanism. It's designed to shunt that blood to the larger blood vessels, so that, to the larger muscles, arms, legs, fight, run, and to the lungs to be able to take in more oxygen, to be able to supply that extra blood flow for a real sprint of energy. And then 5 minutes later, you either are eaten by the tiger or you got away and you're rocking and you move back into what's called parasympathetic dominance, which is rest, digest, regeneration, healing, wholeness, higher brain function. So in its initial phases, what it does is it pours warm blood over those muscle fibers, which softens them, and they start to open and allow circulation to go in. Now, if somebody's lived in chronic either hostility or fear, which basically is sympathetic dominance, then those muscle fibers are not only you know, kind of in an habitual locked position. If you've ever played the parlor game of grabbing the broomstick and tightening your hand around as tight as you can, and then try to open your fingers, they don't open very well. Well, if you think of someone who's been in sympathetic, chronic sympathetic dominance, you know, days, weeks, months, years, decades, then those muscles are locked up and locked in. And when they're locked in, where there's supposed to be a flow of blood, of course, you can easily imagine that a river, nice, cool, clean, clear water flowing through this river, and a tree falls in it and blocks the river up, dams it up, then all of a sudden you've got leaves and debris and sticks and branches coming downstream that otherwise would just pass by and be gone. What do? They accumulate around the leaves and the branches of the tree. You get muck starting to gather, and you get things living there that couldn't live in a flowing river. Well, it's an exact duplicate in the structure. If those muscle fibers are chronically locked up, then there's congestion that builds. There are organisms that start to live there that don't belong. It's called congestion. And in the system of medicine that I'm trained in, the whole root of disease is congestion. So in the short term, it starts to open those muscle fibers, which takes oxygen nutrition into the cell. According to at least one theory, a 5% lack of oxygen means excruciating pain in the cell. So if you can just start to get a little bit of blood flow into that cell that's hurting, you're going to get temporary relief. Over the long term, what happens is that increased flow over time is going to, as you could imagine, if you went in and you took the tree that's blocking the stream and you started pulling the branches out that were blocking the way. Well, you get one branch, you get two, you get three, and geez, it's not quite so much of a swamp anymore. It's starting to flow a little bit. As it flows a little bit, things start to get cleaned up. Oh, I can see another couple of branches. Oh, there's another block in there. Oh, there's one that must have come downstream a long time ago. It's really locked in there under the mud. And as each one's pulled out, then what happens is you start to get a more significant flow, which cleans out the gunk. And you're back to that nice, clean, clear, flowing river. So my offering would be with Patrick, you know, within a matter of just weeks, his feet were at the point where he could work for 5 hours instead of two. In a matter of a year and a half, he can do 12 or 14 hours, and he has no problem with his feet whatsoever. So it has both the short-term and the long-term impact, and my take is because of what it cleans out of the system. So that's one of the primary mechanisms that's going on there.